Welcome back to Current State for Friday. I'm Mark Bayshore at the top of our program today. For a long time, measles and whooping cough seemed as far gone as typewriters and telegrams. But in recent years, these highly contagious diseases have made a comeback. Doctors say that's due in part to more parents opting out of vaccinating their kids. Outbreaks of measles and whooping cough in Michigan in recent years prompted state officials to look at ways to boost the state's immunization rates. Starting this fall, parents who want a non-medical immunization waiver will have to first meet with a county health official. Here to talk about the new rule and the impact that it's had so far is Ingham County Health Officer Linda Vail. Welcome back, Linda.
Thank you, Mark.
And also Dr. Eden Wells, Chief Medical Executive for the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services. Welcome to Current State, Dr. Wells. Nice to see you. And we invite our listeners to get us your questions. You can email us, currentstate@wkar.org, or connect with us on Twitter, @KAR Current State. Dr. Wells, I think it might be useful to just start with an explanation of what qualifies as a non-medical waiver.
A non-medical waiver is any request by a parent who defer the immunizations for themselves or their children due to either religious or philosophical reasons. So we really have not had any issues. This rule does not address the medical waiver, which is clearly if there's a medical problem, the doctor will sign off and approve a waiver for that child. So really, it comes down to either personal beliefs due to religion or philosophy.
And Michigan has one of the highest rates of vaccination waivers for kindergartners, correct?
Yes. We are unfortunately, we are number four in the United States in that top five, and that's not a place you want to be in this type of subject.
Well, how do they break down in terms of the philosophical versus the medical?
Under 1% are medical waivers. So in our counties here, we have about an average of 5.3% across the counties of children that are waived for non-medical waivers in Michigan. But this can vary from one county that's maybe 1% to another county next door that could be up to 20%, which means one of every five children aren't getting their vaccines.
Mm-hmm. This new requirement was prompted by measles and whooping cough outbreaks in several counties across the state. Linda Vail, the rates of vaccination vary pretty considerably from county to county. How does Ingham compare with the rest of the state?
Well, if you look at the state puts out what's called an immunization report card. And if you look at that, Ingham County actually doesn't rank well. I'd have to look at my exact numbers, but out of 84 counties that are ranked, we rank in the 60s in some of the things, 60s, mm-hmm. 50s. And compared to other counties that you would typically compare to us, that it really isn't very good. So there's something going on here that we certainly need to address. As Dr. Wells was mentioning with the philosophical versus the other waivers and rates, we run about 76% of our waivers are for philosophical reasons, and another 20-some percent for religious reasons, and very, very few for medical. So the vast majority of them are purely philosophical objections.
Hmm. Has Ingham County had any of the kinds of outbreaks that some of the other counties have experienced?
We've dealt with pertussis outbreaks and other, you know, like more minor outbreaks of things like chickenpox and things like that. We did not have an outbreak of measles in this last year or two as the measles has gone on its resurgence.
Well, Dr. Wells, talk to us about the new rule then. What does it require of parents who want to get a non-medical waiver?
That's a great question. So this went effect in January 1st of 2015, and really this is the first school year, school entry year that we're really dealing with this. And what this means for parents is it really applies to all children in who are entering either public or private schools in the state if they're entering a licensed child care, kindergarten, or seventh grade. They need to show, the parents need to show that their child's immunizations are up to date. And this also includes those children that have moved from one school district to another. That's something that some parents may not realize, so any newly enrolled student. And it doesn't take away the rights of the parents for having a non-medical waiver, but it's simply asking that these parents undergo a counseling session. And that counseling sounds odd because it sounds like they're back to school. I think it should be more of a really having the conversation and the discussion with the local health department about the risks and benefits of waiving your child's immunizations.
When the Department of Health and Human Services was looking at ways to boost immunization rates, how did you decide that this was the best way to boost them?
You know, this was interesting because this was actually a decision that was made by a vast number of stakeholders, not just the Department of Health and Human Services. We had pediatricians, public health nurses, healthcare providers across the state, all who met together to work and try to, you know, figure out ways to improve the vaccine waiver problem. And what the decision was is that having these sessions, these discussions at the local health department would ultimately be the best decision and not take away the right of the parent, as some other states are considering doing, but to really say, you have this right, but let's sit down and make sure everybody, no matter what county you live in, has the same type of good information to make that decision with.
And I would add to that that there were actually a few counties in the state of Michigan that piloted this, essentially, that made a local rule, as local health officers have the ability to do, that says here in this county, you must have an education session with your health department before. So that happened beforehand and gave the state a little bit of information about how well that worked in some select counties in order for them to push it forward.
Right.
Linda Vale is Ingham County Health Officer. We're also joined by Dr. Eden Wells, Chief Medical Executive for the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services, and we're talking about Michigan's efforts, the state's efforts, to boost vaccination rates by requiring parents who want a non-medical immunization waiver to meet with their county health department staffs. Linda, so these parents who want a non-medical exemption are heading to your health department and the other 82 in the state and sitting down with a public health nurse there. What do those conversations tend to sound like?
Those conversations are they're very informational. They're very educational. You know, as Dr. Wells says, it's a counseling session, but it's an education. It's an interaction. It's an opportunity to actually, you know, address concerns that parents might have, to explain some things that are typically myths within the whole vaccination realm. They last about 20 to 30 minutes. We generally have really good interactions with folks. So it's a very positive, informational session related to vaccines, pros and cons, and what it is that's really going on in the vaccination world.
How often do you manage to persuade a parent that is skeptical or out and out against the idea of having their child vaccinated? How often are you able to persuade them otherwise?
Well, I was afraid you'd ask that question.
That's my
We've
job.
We've had about 281 of these sessions in our department so far this year, and five people have changed their minds and gotten vaccinated. Mm. There's some other kind of nuances with what's going on related to the whole vaccination issue that even though that number is small, we do think that this rule is going to drastically change the waiver rates. And that's what I would refer to as what we call convenience waivers. So we have a number of people, because the school districts were handling the waivers rather than the health department, that would opt for a philosophical waiver really for convenience purposes. They arrive at school, they suddenly discover, I have to have this immunization thing. They don't have it. Their child isn't up to date. They don't philosophically oppose it, nor do they have a religious opposition. But the convenience of their lives right then is, I've got to leave and go have a doctor's appointment. Or the school hands me a piece of paper and says, well, you can sign this waiver. And so they sign the waiver and maybe eventually get to the immunizations anyway. Then they're delayed in the schedule. What this does is say, you know, if you're going to waive your immunizations, you're still going to have to go and have an appointment. It's either going to be that appointment for the immunizations, or it's going to be this appointment with the health department for education. So it's no longer convenient either way, and so those folks that were opting for waivers really just more out of convenience purposes, that's going to go away, and that's where we think we're really going to see a really drastic change.
Over time,
in the waivers.
Well,
yes.
Convenience aside, Dr. Wells, I mean, the ratio Linda mentioned suggests some pretty firmly held convictions. What's driving these convictions?
You know, I think that I'd like to echo certainly what Linda said, that I think that there what we're seeing, the folks that are actually coming now for their sessions with the local health departments are those that have those probably more set beliefs, either philosophically or religiously, and want to have their children waived in terms of vaccines. And as we say, we've been dealing, I think, for a number of decades, but this has increased greatly, I think, in the last 5 to 10 years, sentiments of parents having concerns with vaccines, either the number of vaccines their children are receiving, or perhaps concerns or myths that have been developed over time, misinformation that may have them question the safety of vaccines and such. Mm-hmm. And so that's where we can really feel that these informational sessions are important. I can say from across the state that many of the local health departments are experiencing the same as Linda, is that what we're seeing is those parents who really had simply, I'm signing for convenience, they're not the ones having to come. Their children are getting vaccinated and they're showing up at school. We will be very interested. We will probably know within the next 2 months or so what the initial impact that this rule has had for our schools around the state.
This has come up in the Republican presidential, Republican, maybe the Democrat. I'm aware of a couple of Republican presidential candidates that have explicitly commented about this. And I'm wondering, does this belong in the discussion amongst aspiring presidents of the United States?
I would say yes. I think this is of paramount importance that we, understand what vaccines are. We understand that vaccines are safe and they prevent diseases. We had many, many vaccine-preventable diseases before these vaccines came around that really devastated, lives and lives of children and their families that had to take care of them. And so, we don't need this country to flip and go back to a place where we were before these things were.
1950s and 60s, where mass polio outbreaks and measles outbreaks were killing our children.
I'll tell you, I know very little about this. I've heard that apparently candidate Donald Trump and candidate Carly Fiorina have basically made comments to the effect that parents have to have the right, defending the right of parents to go for the waiver.
Well, I'd agree. And this was discussed in the recent debates. And there was some disappointing information that I felt was portrayed by some of these candidates who may be, one of them may be one of our future leaders. And not in the sense that I think, again, it just represents some of the misinformation. There was some, again, allusion one candidate made that stated autism was a potential risk for vaccines. Time and time again, multiple Institute of Medicine reports and investigations have shown that this is not the case. So I think there is a need to educate our political candidates and our politicians about the recent and the good science behind this. But I do think that most of our legislators who have become involved in health policy have been very interested in meeting and working with public health to nobody wants to see children become ill. Nobody also, at the same time, wants to see parents rescind their rights to make those decisions. But we need to find this way. We don't want to. There are states that are making laws right across the board that are not allowing anything other than medical waivers. And recently, California did that.
Yeah.
We are allowing this right, but we want the education to come with that.
Science would maintain, if I can generalize here, wouldn't science maintain that we are aiming for herd immunity, what's referred to as herd immunity, and the more kids who get the waivers, mm-hmm. reduces the chances of creating herd immunity? That is kind of the standard interpretation of this by the scientific community.
Because you do have some children who have a medical need to not be vaccinated. And it is our obligation as a society around them, because they have no choice, to protect ourselves in order to protect them, which is what herd immunity is. So some of these diseases require that 94% of us be vaccinated around these people that literally cannot, have no choice. And so that is the only way we can protect them.
Absolutely.
is to be vaccinated around them.
We've been talking about Michigan's efforts to boost immunization rates among school children by making parents who want a non-medical exemption sit down with a county health official. Our guests today have been Dr. Eden Wells, Chief Medical Executive at the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services, and Ingham County Health Officer Linda Vail. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.